McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104. It is another Sunday morning and another morning to be spent with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry. Thank you for joining us, and good morning, ladies. How are we doing?
I'm alone.
Well,
that's really
good. I was just going to say, she got all her limbs. That's a good start.
Yep, Carol's alive. She's still with us.
And you know what? And I'm about to share a story. And Frankenberry, I'm just pausing for a moment to imagine how much more dramatic the story would have been if it were Jonna.
It would have involved...
Because we haven't heard your story yet.
Right, we'll hear the story, but I since I know the story, all I'm going to say is if it were a Jonna story, she would have lost shoes. She would have dropped her purse and had to go back and try to get it. She would have had a wardrobe malfunction.
So people are wondering what's going on here. So we talk about animals a lot. We're all animal lovers, wild animals, domestic animals especially, but we're all animal lovers. And Jonna had an interesting summer with animals in her yard as usual and on her deck and pooping on her furniture
it ain't
and all
over.
That stuff.
It ain't over.
And and I mentioned a couple of months, we have a little place out in Pennsylvania we go sometimes, and I mentioned we were had been in the backyard doing some work and then came up on the deck, which is all fully enclosed, and my dog started barking like crazy. And I'm trying to quiet her, like, come on, why are you making a fuss? And I look up and there's a black bear, you know, probably 15, 20 feet from us, but it had turned around and it was hightailing it out of there. So it was cool because I didn't feel like I was in jeopardy or not safe or anything, and it was exciting, and I thought it was a cool thing. So, being the intelligent individual I am, now you can both agree.
You are.
Oh, yes,
yes. Uh-huh.
Concur.
I'm like, you know what? That was really cool. And suppose I happened upon a bear, and I wasn't on my deck as I'm walking my dog out there. I should prepare myself. Right, so what do? First thing I do is I go on Amazon and order pepper spray, which I'm able to have shipped out in PA. You can't do that in New York. So every time I walk my dog, I carry pepper spray with me. And then I also Googled what to do if you encounter a bear. And one of the most important things to do is to stay calm and walk away slowly. That's what the experts tell you. And I would like to...
I'm rubbing my hands together. I can't wait.
double middle finger to the expert. I was walking Ginger this past weekend in the front yard. It's like a sand mound. And standing there with her, and she starts barking. And my first instinct is, stop. What are you looking at? I squat down and kind of look under the pine, bottom of the pine tree to see what she's barking at. And it's a black bear. And let me tell you, all that, I had the pepper spray in my pocket, all that knowledge I had in my head about what to do and what not to do, I ran my butt like a little girl as fast as I could with Ginger in tow back inside the house, and my heart was pounding, and I thought, okay, we're safe, but wait a minute, let me reflect. That's what I wasn't supposed to do.
I got to ask you, when you did what Google told you not to do, what did the bear do?
Jonna, I was looking where I was running. I was not looking behind me. I don't know what the bear did. Right, initially. So once I got in that house, I looked out the window, and it was just meandering slowly across the street through somebody's backyard. So I think if I were in that situation the second time, I would probably be more calm. But also reflecting, I think if I was by myself, I would be more calm. My instinct was my dog is barking at this bear and, like, protect her, get her out of there. But, oh, my God,
Well, you know what I liked, Carol, when we were talking about this before we actually came on here, is when you said basically as you were running away, you took all those instructions in your head and you threw them over your shoulder behind you.
Oh,
I love I love that image.
It's like easier said than done, yeah. And it completely took me by surprise, because it had been a while since we saw that one, and for a while, shortly after that, my head was a little bit on a swivel, not paranoid, but anytime I was walking her or we're out in the yard, you know, just kind of be alert, and I had forgotten, and I was not alert and paying attention, and I don't know what would have happened if she hadn't started barking.
Go ahead, Frankenberry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I have this thing in my head that if it was a cartoon or whatever, when you finally looked out the window and you were inside safe, the bear was on a cell phone to his buddy. Hey, I got another one to run away and ignore the directions. How about that?
Got me. Oh, my gosh.
I want to test you. Can I test you, Carol, for a minute? Because, okay, we know that in a moment you forgot all of the Googleable instructions for saving your life in the event you come across a deadly grizzly bear, which is what happened to you.
Well, now, correct, though, it was a black bear, not a grizzly.
It was a grizzly bear, Carol, okay?
And it would have been a grizzly bear if it was your story. Yes, I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, in fact, it's not even my story, but I'm making it my story. I got attacked by a grizzly bear.
Okay. What did I say?
So what does Google actually say to do? Like, is there three steps? What does it say to do?
Okay, so first you're supposed to calmly walk away. And if that's not working, like if you feel like the bear is coming towards you, you're supposed to stand and put your arms up and make yourself big.
And make yourself big.
Make yourself big. Yeah, like put your arms as tall as you can and make yourself look big and intimidating. And you know what? The fact is, I don't think they're aggressive. I don't think that he really wanted to bother me. It just totally took me by surprise. So once I watched it, it was just like meandering. So I think I'll be better next time.
Okay.
That's my bear story.
Well, wait a minute. So Google didn't tell you to play dead?
I don't think so. No, I don't remember coming across that.
Did it tell you to make a lot of noise while raising your arms to look bigger? Did it tell you to yell and scream?
I got to go back and look again.
Because I've heard that when it comes to bears.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, that you're supposed to make a lot of noise to try to, again, to make yourself appear more fierce and sound more fierce.
Well, that makes sense. I gotta go back and look again. And honestly, I don't think it was a threat. I think we definitely are very careful about throwing food scraps or anything out like that. If there's no food involved and no cubs involved, I really don't think they want to bother you.
For the most part, no. Yeah. You're probably right. And Jonna, what was the story of the National Park Service that issued a recommendation/warning recently that if you are, for some reason, you do come in contact with a bear while you're hiking with friends, don't push the slowest one down as you run away? You know, I mean, not your fear there, Carol, but that is something else that I've heard about bears as well, is, you know, don't sacrifice your slowest friend so that you can get away.
Well, you just got to be faster than that person. I have another tip,
Donna.
I have a bear tip. If Google says that you're supposed to be, like, mean and fierce, then as long as I run into a bear when I'm good and drunk, that ain't no problem for me. Right?
No, you'll be wanting to cuddle with it if you were drunk.
I know. Well, you guys do know, I'm gonna segue into a related story, because I think I've told you this, that raccoons are the cousin of the bear. Did you know that?
No.
I did not know that they were like little tiny bandit-looking bears, no.
They're cousins, they're related to bear, which is, since I am a raccoon whisperer and I basically study them every night, if you think about it, like, they kind of have weird bear-looking paws and they, you know, stand up like bears. And they also, they have on my very best deck, these little raccoons have tried to stand up and make themselves look bigger when they were trying to fight me. But it doesn't work. But I will say, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, and I'll probably get some people who are mad at me for it, but the raccoons this season, they're new. They're like, I guess they would sort of be teenage raccoons. They have gotten to the point with me now where they almost act like stray cats, Frankenberry. Like, they come up on my deck. If there's no food out there, they sit at my gosh dang sliding glass door, look at me like, hey, we're here. And when I go to get like a little treat or some bird seeds, they won't even run away. They're like, well, we'll just sit here and wait for you to do your thing. And then I'll be like, no, you guys got to get off the deck. Then I'll do my thing. Then you come back. And I know that they're going to miss me when I'm not here because of this house rental, but but I'm going to guess that maybe they have a lot of contact with humans in this little hamlet, and that's why they're friendly like that. I don't know.
Well, I would say they're pretty comfortable with you.
Yeah.
You know, break out some cat food, and they'll be around every night.
I have given them some cat food on occasion, but I primarily give the bird seed, and I got to tell you, the grossest thing, you guys, is I'm like packing up things in my house that have not been moved like away from the wall in 6 years. Holy moly. Oh, yeah. There's bird seed all over this house. You know how it's getting in here. Yeah. Raccoons ain't bringing it.
What, when you have the late night munchies and go crawling around?
No, because bird seed doesn't satisfy me. But you know that I have little meat.
I know.
Mice. Yes, we do know that.
That are doing it. But here's the thing. Like, recently, I think I got rid of my mouth issue. So some of this evidence must be a little old, which is really grossing me out. I mean, but... Yeah, that's one of the, pitfalls of having pet raccoons, you know. You wouldn't know, but, but
yes.
I know.
Yes, and I will, and I can tell you, too, that raccoons, when they're small and you're trying to feed a bunch of dogs in the morning time, will eat your ankle.
Oh, well, you've got a raccoon right now.
Yes. She's up in the barn now with a pal, so she's very happy. She's got a friend.
Like aggressive, like want to hurt you?
Just cute, small nibbling on my ankles kind of thing before she would go off and harass the kittens.
You live in the perfect place.
Now, Carol, he does live in the perfect place. Do you think that if you, so you now know that you have a bear in the neighborhood in your little town in Pennsylvania. And do you think you could become friends with it? Like,
no.
You know, putting out some berries and honey and stuff.
Okay. The association very strictly tells you to not put any food scraps or anything outside for that reason. No. And remember, I hand fed a deer, you know, maybe 2 months ago.
Right.
That was cool. I'm not going to get buddy-buddy with the bear.
Yeah, I don't see that one happening.
Let me ask you one more question.
Okay.
I was at a cousin's house a few weeks ago, and she has gotten buddy-buddy with a chipmunk. Yes. A chipmunk, which is kind of like a big mouse. But listen to this. So there's two. She calls one good chippy and one bad chippy. And good chippy will eat out of her hand, which I think is a little bit gross. But she also will, if she puts some seeds up on her thigh when she's sitting in a chair, that freaking chipmunk runs up her leg to the seeds, eats it, and then jumps off.
Which is great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And why would it be gross to have it eat out of your hand?
Right.
Because, where is that, you know, I don't know, they're mice. They're cute mice with furry tails, right?
Have your dogs ever kissed you?
Oh, right on the mouth. Right up the nose.
And now let me take a shot in the dark. Your dogs, on occasion, somewhere in their lifetime, have licked themselves in certain places at the end of themselves, correct?
Not my dogs, no. Okay. Not mine, no.
Of course not.
Of
course not.
What? They're my dogs.
I don't think it's gross for a chipmunk to be eating out of someone's hand.
Neither do I.
So, I'll tell you one last thing about this, and then we're going to move on. She actually installed a little chipmunk cam. I got like on ground level. The little chipmunks are funny because when there's a camera that's just 1 inch off the ground and they're like eating or doing their thing with their little hands, it is kind of cute to watch up close like that because you really don't get to see that up close.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. And I'm sure they're very happy with your cousin.
I love chipmunks. They're adorable. They're very busy right now. Very busy. All the squirrels and chipmunks are very busy.
Preparing for winter, I suppose. But speaking of being very busy, when we come back from the break, I'm really excited about our guest today. And I want to tell you quickly, like, kind of how she came to be our guest today. So I don't always listen to our radio station. Sometimes I listen to Sirius. And there's a station on Sirius XM called Radio Andy. And if you guys remember, the star of a show called Flipping Out, starring Jeff Lewis, he's like this excellent designer, sort of builder, and he's got this, you know, tremendous temper, which to which I can relate. And he was the star of Flipping Out. And the woman that we have coming on to our show today was a guest on his show very recently. That's how I got her. But is also his therapist. A celebrity therapist with an incredible backstory, which I will wait and let her tell our audience about that. But talk about interesting lives. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Donna. She is literally the therapist to the stars, including the New York Jets. She's on TV all the time, Dr. Oz, and she actually had a TV show made about her life. I recently read book called Game On, and she's got this interesting form of therapy that she actually founded. So we're going to dish all about celebrities, therapy, law of attraction, the New York Jets. It's going to be a whole potpourri of Dr. Donna when we come back from the break.
All right, that sounds good. You're listening to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we will be back with Dr. Donna. Stick with us.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and it's time now, as always, in segment number two, to get to our guest. And today, Jonna, very, very excited to have gotten in touch with Dr. Donna.
Oh, my God, yes. So I teased before the break that we have a very special guest on today for a ton of reasons. She's not just a celebrity therapist, but she's one of my favorite guests on somebody else's show. That could be the first time we've had somebody like that as a guest on our show. And I could sit here and read her bio word for word, but then it would be next week by the time I'm done, because she's got such an awesome career. So I'm just gonna give her a quick bio from my heart. So on the line with us, we have Dr. Donna. Now, she's one of my favorite guests on Jeff Lewis Live. You guys might know Jeff Lewis as the former star host of Flipping Out, which was a fantastic show. I love his personality. And Dr. Donna was actually his therapist. And I have to say, when she comes on the line with us, I'm going to tell her she did a tremendous job. She has to be very talented. He's tough to rein in, that guy. Like, really tough. But
oh,
Dr. Donna did it. She's also an author. She had a television show made about her life, because her life is that interesting, Necessary Roughness. And the book that I just finished reading over the weekend is called Game On, What I Learned During My Time as Shrink to the New York Jets, How to Achieve Anything You Want in Life. And yes, she was the shrink to the New York Jets. So before I drone on any longer, let's get Dr. Donna on with us. Dr. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. That was so what a wonderful introduction. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I have to add one more thing. She also has people great taste in shoes. Okay? Check out her, because your website is awesome. That's another reason to have you as our guest. So
it's all about the shoes. That's where it starts.
Isn't it, though? I know. I can relate. Frankenberry can't, but I can.
Well, actually, Dr. Donna, I can tell you that that's probably the main reason that she's got you on, and the other stuff she just studied up on. So, I mean, this is somebody who will make sure that she picks out the right heels to take out the garbage.
That's a true story, too. But, you know, that's so funny. It's so funny. I do online therapy, right? So people now with the pandemic, everybody's home. So they're looking for rooms where they can be, you know, there would be privacy. Some people actually go into their closet. And as I'm doing therapy, I'm actually looking at the shoes that they have there. And some of them are really like, outrageous. But I have to just stop them and say, can I just see those leopard shoes you had back there?
That's awesome.
That's a perk. That's a perk of the online therapy.
So I do, Dr. John, I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about you, because I really honestly, truly mean this. After reading Game On, you have had such an incredible, not just a career, like an incredible life. Because I'm going to say, if I'm not giving anything away, you didn't wake up one day and go, dang, I think I'm going to be a shrink to the New York Jets. Like you got off to a little bit of a slow start, and then you got into your groove, and it all sort of kind of fell into place. But do things really fall into place? So give us a little bit of your backstory.
Well, it's funny. I often say that Starbucks launched my career. And I say that because I had just, I was a therapist for a while, and I had just become a hypnotherapist. So I was working with local athletes. And I went into Starbucks for a cup of coffee, and I noticed that, and this was in the 90s, and I noticed that Parcells, in the sports section, he was saying he couldn't get his team to focus. So I thought, you know, I could get his team to focus. So I actually called their head athletic trainer multiple times, finally got through, and through a back and forth and back and forth, because he kept putting me off. Like, and I said, you know, I have this great program. I think I could really work with your guys. They had never had a female therapist in their camp, let alone a hypnotherapist. And so it was really a new concept for them. And he kept putting me off. And so then one day I said to him, you know, do you drink coffee? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'll be there on Tuesday with your coffee. How do you like it? And he said, okay.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and I showed up, and, you know, I told him what I was up to, and he liked it, and he actually said that he would be my first client.
Oh, wow.
So I said, okay. So that was a test. And before you know it, yeah, I was with the Jets for like 7 seasons.
Really?
I took them to the playoffs. I feel personally responsible to taking them to the playoffs.
And my apologies, but my Steelers beat them twice. Sorry.
Hey.
I know, well, maybe.
I don't know
what happened, but I did my best.
Isn't that, that is actually so cool. And it's almost like you, I don't even know, like, what gave you the idea to just do that? Because I think most people in your shoes would be too afraid. I've kind of been in a similar situation. You're just too afraid to speak up. Or even if you see a celebrity in a restaurant, you're like, oh, I don't want to bother that person. And maybe that's legit. But just to walk up to somebody and say, hey, give me a shot, I'll bring you your coffee. And he says, okay, it's just incredible. Like, where'd you get the confidence to do that?
You know, I run by two things. First of all, I don't believe that there's mistakes. I don't think that there are mistakes. I think there are choices and consequences. Some of the consequences feel good, and some of the consequences don't feel good. But there are no mistakes. The mistake is not getting up in the morning. You know, that's your mistake because you wasted the day. And the other thing I always ask myself, and this was something that really drove me to get the TV show, if I were not afraid, what would I do? Uh-huh. Because there are no mistakes. So if you go back and forth between those two beliefs, you're always going to move the energy forward.
Oh, absolutely.
And even with the TV show, you know, and then sometimes, you know, life just puts things in front of you, right? So my brother Joe was an actor, and I happened to go out to visit him, and he was doing a part on ER. And I happened to meet the director, and he asked me what I did for a living. And I said I was a mental health clinician for the Jets. And then he said, you know, that would make a great TV show. And so there was, like, I saw opportunities. And then, you know, I said to my brother, you know, he thinks my life would make a great TV show. And then my brother said, everybody in California thinks their life would make a great TV show. But he started getting calls in regard to his sister. So when I went back to his sister, me, so when I went back to New York, then my brothers called me and said, hey, you know, I'm getting these phone calls. They think that your life would make a great TV show. And I went, did they now?
It's crazy.
And so then
how
he and I
the
went
universe.
On this. Well, you know, sometimes you put things out into the universe. And then some things just show up. And you have to be open enough to recognize, you know, there's a possibility right here. And you also, I think, have to look at life as fun, you know. I think people take themselves way too seriously. And then the other thing, and I know, Johnny, you were really into this, you never take no for an answer. Ever.
Yes. I want to talk about that concept in a few minutes because I think that could be life-changing if people could really adopt that never taking no for an answer. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do, but you did it. I mean, that almost guided your whole career.
Can I just add something to that? This is Carol. Dr. Donna, it's so great to quote-unquote meet you. Never take no for an answer ever. I agree. And I would add to that when you believe in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, first of all, if you believe in what you're doing, you know, no for me means not with you. Doesn't mean I can't do anything. Doesn't mean I don't have a good idea. Doesn't mean that my heart isn't in the right place. It just means no with you. Next. And sometimes it sounds cold, but it's true. And when I went to pitch the TV show, right? I mean, you know, I was going on pitches, but when I had the thought of doing it, it took 4 years before it actually was sold. Okay. So it was 4 years of no's. And it never got me down. What it meant to me was that person saying no could not do it. They just could not do it. I only needed one yes.
Wow. For that to happen. I love it.
And I believed in that, and I think that's what it is, to believe, you know, in your project, to believe that what I'm doing is great, and just to keep going until you find that one person. So you never take no for an answer.
So, Dr. Donna, let me ask you, when it comes to, was it the head trainer for the Jets that you first contacted?
Yes.
Okay, so what is it, because in this particular case, that was the one person that wasn't necessarily saying no, but they just... they were kind of indirectly saying no. What kept you going back with the emails until eventually saying, I'll be there with your coffee?
Well, first of all, it was not emails. It was phone calls. I don't email.
Sorry.
I call. You know what I mean? I know. Everybody sends emails. No. I call. And you know, little secret. See, because I'm a doctor, what I do is whoever I'm calling, I say, this is Dr. Danningfelser, and I need to speak to Joe Schmo. Well, they put me right through because they think that something's wrong with them or a family member. Then I have to get on. I know. It's a little trick. It's a little trick, but I feel okay about it. Because then when I get them on the phone, I say, hey, you know, they get on the phone usually like this. Hello? And I say, you know, I know that might have been scary, but everything's fine. Let me tell you why I'm calling. And so then I calm them down. I apologize if I cause them any anxiety. And then, you know, we start talking. And I have never had a bad reaction to that. I've never had somebody say, I can't believe you did that or whatever. You know, it was always, because my intent was always pure. You know, it was never to hurt anybody. And I think that's the key.
Right.
You know, if your intent is pure for good. And so and the man's name was David Price. He has since passed away. And I would call him and we would talk and I would just engage him in conversation and he'd say, well, you know what, call me back in 2 weeks. And then I would call back in 2 weeks. And then call me back in 2 weeks. And then call me back in 2 weeks until finally I said about the coffee, you know, how do you take it? And I'll be bringing it in.
But wait, so that goes along with your never say no thing. Because if somebody said that to me, if I were trying to do something, launch a project or anything, and someone said, call me back in 2 weeks, I probably would do it once. And if they said, call me back in another 2 weeks, I probably would do it twice. But then at some point I'd say, I'm just being a pain in the ass. This person really doesn't want to talk to me, and I would another direction. But that's not always a great idea, I suppose.
Okay, so right there, your ego got in the way.
I ain't got no ego.
You know, I'm not going to call you again. So, but the better part, first of all, remember, David did not, he kept pushing me off. It wasn't like, do not call me again, because when does it turn from, you know, this is fun to like, you know, this is harassment, right?
To a restraining order,
so
right.
Exactly. You know, then bad things happen. But, I knew that there was an interest. Now, quite honestly, you know, I was 35 years old. He was 35 years old. Was there a little flirting that went on? I mean, I don't really know, you know, if that's what kept... kept it going. I don't really think so because we talked about professionalism, but no matter what it is, keep the conversation going, right? Because then if it's a couple of times and you're not getting anywhere, you can say, do you think there's someone else that might be interested in this program? And then you need to have the talent. Well, you need to have the talent when to know to pivot, right? I can't keep going after the Jets. I'm going to need to pivot. Maybe I'll go to the Giants. You know, I'm taking this to ABC. Maybe I need to take this to cable.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of that as well.
Because you kind of had, there was an interesting, sort of in the beginning of your career in the book, you had sort of, you weren't quite sure which direction you wanted to go, and the universe helped you a lot with that. So in other words, it was like you were going to apply to get into one school, and you didn't go to that school. Then you were going to apply for a job, and then you didn't actually get that job. And it all kind of steered you. Like, you didn't say, well, then forget it. I'm just going to throw my hands up and do nothing and, you know, eat bonbons all day. You got steered into another direction. And I guess, is there a way for people to learn how to, like, listen? I think sometimes the universe really, like, just knocks on our door, and we have to be open to going in that direction.
Exactly, exactly. And so the idea is living by intention rather than reaction, okay? I created Eudaimonia Psychology. It's the methods and tools to live in a state of well-being, regardless of what life throws your way. We're not here to fail. We are not here to fail. We're here to learn and grow and return to the source. So if I keep going after something and doors are shutting in my face, I have to reevaluate. Either I'm going about it wrong, or I need to tweak it a little so that it's acceptable. Okay, so the idea is to understand what do I actually want to achieve. Now, if everything is shutting down, like I wanted to be an attorney. That was my first, I was going to go after that, fight for women's rights and that whole thing. But no matter what I did, it just wouldn't work. And that's when I stood in a parking lot and I said, okay, what do you want me to do? Just show me what you want me to do. I know you want me to do something. And the question is, who am I talking to? I'm talking to the higher force. You know, there's something greater than ourselves. That's who I was talking to. You want to say it's God, you want to say it's the force, you want to say it's the universe, you want to say it's energy. You can put any name you want on it that you want. But it dawns on me that, you know, show me what you want me to do and I'll do it. And actually, that's when the post office started sending me, you know, I think my messages came through the post office at the time. Remember, it was the 90s. Right? And I received a letter from, you know, Hofstra University, but it wasn't for law school. It was for therapy, psychotherapy. You know, and then it was like, oh, you want me to be a therapist? And then when I started to investigate it, it kind of turned, it was like, hey, I think I like this. Mm-hmm. So you need to pay attention.
Is that step one eudaimonia, right? That's the eudaimonia therapy, how you pronounce it?
Eudaimonia psychology, right? Eudaimonia is a state of well-being. It's not a woo-woo, you know, everybody's like, woo-woo, John, is woo-woo stuff, new age stuff. Yeah. It's not new age. It's very old. That term was used by Socrates and Plato back in the day when they were trying to describe what makes for a well-fulfilled life. It's a very, very old concept that thoughts become things. I mean, think of it this way. Everything's created twice, right? The chair that you're sitting in was first someone's idea, and then they gathered people and the materials, and they built the chair. The car you drive was first somebody's thought. Then they gathered the people and the materials. They built the car. Everything is your career was first your thought, and then it was one step in front of the other, and doors opened up for you, and now you have your career. So everything is created twice, first in thought and then on the physical plane.
So step one into either being happy or getting everything that you want is to have the thought.
Right. Focus and visualize on what you want. I get a lot of people, I don't know what I want. Okay, well, you do know you want to be happy. So focus on you being happy. And then the second part of that, it's none of your business how you get to where you want to go. That's up to the universe, because you know what? You don't know what you don't know until you know it. Okay? So how you get there is really none of your business. The energy just needs to know, where do you want to go? Okay, so that's the first thing. Focus on what you want. No?
But it is, yes. So it is about moving the energy, though. So you must have to do something. Absolutely. Having the thought, wanting to be happy, is step one. But if you just sit on the couch eating bonbons or watching reruns of Sex and the City, which I've done for a time in my life, you have to put something in motion, no?
Absolutely. Rhonda Byrne did that, the book, The Law of Attraction. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the problem that a lot of people had with it was, her message was, you just need to visualize. Well, no. If you want to be a doctor, you need to go to school. If you want to be a teacher, you need to go to school. You need to move the energy one step at a time. Just keep putting one step in front of the other towards your goal. But you need to visualize the end result. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Dr. Donna, I want to add something to this. And Jonna and I are both, big believers in the law of attraction. And yes, the thought is the beginning point. And I am also think, like, I'm not a big believer in long-term, very strict, regimented goals. I am a believer, become more so in recent years. Okay, here's what I would want. And my story, I wrote a book and now I have a whole career because my ex had an affair. And I did exactly what you said. I started to focus on what I wanted. I wanted to be happy again. And what does that look like? But where I am now in life is, I've learned to, okay, that's what I want. And I feel my way there more, Dr. Darna, than I logic my way there. Yes, I take action. What feels right? What's the next step I can take that is moving me there? Do you agree with that? Trusting your instincts, your intuition, that feeling inside?
Yeah. And I think, and I love the fact that you use the word feeling, because you need to have a visual where you want to ultimately go. I want to write this book. Okay, that's your goal. And then you need to feel what it feels like to have completed that task. You need to get that feeling in the core of your body, and that's the energy you release.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've already arrived. Mm. And then every day, all you have to do is one small step towards that goal. And everybody says, oh, but what happens if I want to change it? You can. You can change it. But you have to start somewhere.
When I wrote my first book, called Happy Bit, uh-huh, and that was what I learned from how I chose to respond to discovering my ex's affair. I designed the cover first.
Right.
This was before I saw The Secret or read The Secret. I designed the cover,
yep.
I printed it out, wrapped it around another book, and I just sat it next to me as I wrote, and I just kept saying, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's just execution.
That's correct.
And
you were yes, you were already there in your mind. That's exactly what you have to do. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, you got it.
But sometimes, Dr. Donna, when you, like, you can feel something that intuitively, you can feel it like a physical thing, and then what you're wanting to achieve doesn't happen. What do you, then how do you keep believing in the eudaimonia?
Okay. Very good question. Excellent question. A lot of us have been trained to wait for things. I don't want you ever to wait for another thing in your life. I want you to allow things to happen. I want you to allow it to happen. Now, you could have a plan A, right? You have a plan A. I say never have a plan B, ever. Never have a plan B. Always manipulate plan A. If plan A, all of a sudden, you know what, this is, keep bumping up against the wall. You can massage that plan A, but you don't have to have a backup plan. Everybody has this backup plan. I think it confuses the energy. I don't know. Does she want plan A? Does she want plan B? I really don't know. I don't know what she wants. And it confuses not only you and your focus, where the energy is moving. So now, I don't want you to wait. It's about allowing. You need to allow things to line up. And this is another thing, and it's a big conversation. You may not get what you want, but I'll guarantee you, you'll get what you need.
Oh, I love it.
Wow, that might have just changed my life. That is a very interesting way to put it. I know. Oh, wow.
So I could talk about this. Carol and I could talk about this. Frank Berry, are you still with us? Because sometimes he checked out when we talked about this.
No. I am still here. Actually, I was having a snack, and I didn't want any sound, so I turned down my mic. But time-wise, yeah, we are getting close to the end. Though, Doc, I do want to ask you one thing, and I mentioned this to John and Carol in the beginning, especially with the fact that you worked with, as you said, the Jets for like 7 years. Did any of the guys on the team refer to you as Triple D? You know, like, hey, Dr. Donna Dan, what are you doing?
No, they didn't. They didn't. But you know what? My thing to everybody was I always wanted to be a Triple D. And then I was.
Although I should add, the first chapter in Game On is called The No Cleavage Rule. And one of the things, I like that title, but I love that you talk about it in your book, Dr. Donna, that, look, if you're a woman and you're a beautiful woman, there's nothing wrong with just being a beautiful woman. You don't, you know, if you've got it, kind of flaunt it. And I am totally down with that. And I appreciate that you say that as well.
Well, you know, the thing is, if beauty's going to get you in the room, so be it. But it's your intellect that will keep you there.
Oh, yes, so true.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've always felt the same way about myself.
I don't.
There you go.
I know we have to wrap up here, and you've been so generous with your time. I got to ask you one other insider thing that has nothing to do with your book or anything. But how did you meet Jeff Lewis?
Okay, so I was doing Necessary Roughness, and it was on USA Network. And there was another, the executive producer for Jeff Lewis's show always watched Necessary Roughness, and he needed a therapist at the time. Wow, that was like years ago. And she called me and asked me if I would be his therapist on the show. Very and cool. So then I said, sure. And so that's how we connected.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Because we're not nearly as famous as Jeff Lewis, but that's kind of what we did to you. Like, we heard you on another show and said, we got to get you on here. That is so great.
Well, that's actually how I got onto the Dr. Oz show as well. So it's,
and
yeah,
we love Dr.
You know, it's part of that.
And it's part of your whole philosophy and the eudaimonia therapy that you founded. And you're just amazing. We really appreciate you coming on with us. Now, we know that people can get therapy with you. They can learn more about you. They can buy the book. What's the best way for people to reach you, Dr. Donna?
Okay, so my website is therealdrdonnad.com. Let me emphasize that. It's therealdrdonnad.com. If they go to drdonnad.com, they will go to an Asian porno site.
Oh, no.
I was just going to say it's got to be some sort of porn. It's got 3 D's in the title.
So they have to go to therealdrdonnad.com.
Oh,
and also,
God,
they can go to Instagram. And I'm doing Zoom meetings now as well. So if they go to my website, they can find the information, reach out to me, and then we can talk about teletherapy. Or if they want to go to the Zoom meetings, they can go to the website, and on the tabs on the top, they can see meetings, and they can register for those Zoom meetings.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I might do that. You don't think I'm stalking you if I do that, Dr. Donna. But I might actually
do that. I won't.
Okay.
I won't. All are welcome. All are welcome.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to say goodbye to Dr. Donna, celebrity therapist, author extraordinaire, speaker. She's just fabulous. I urge everybody to get the book Game On. Thank you again, Dr. Donna, for being with us today.
And thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. Have a great day, everybody.
Yep. Thank you very much, Dr. Donna. Much appreciated. And you're listening to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we're not done yet for the morning. Segment number 3 is on the way, so please come back with us. This is K104.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time this morning here to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci and myself. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Oh, finally. After like 6 months, you two got it on in sync is the word I was looking for.
Well, I'm so glad we had that chat with Dr. I told you guys she's a great guest. And again, I don't think we've ever had a guest that's got to be a guest for us because I like hearing her as a guest on somebody else's show. But she was just awesome. And I'm a fan of Jeff Lewis. Frank and Barry, you probably never watched Flipping Out, but it was a great show.
You know me. Those shows are certainly not up my alley. So, no, I did not know Jeff Lewis.
Yeah. Did we still have Carol knows
he's
Jeff Lewis.
He's a whack, Johnny. He's a, man, what a handful he must have been for her.
No, but he's better now, probably because of Dr. Donna.
Is he really? What an a-hole.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's better. He's better now. But I'm so glad you bring that up because I have been wanting to, and maybe I'll call Dr. Donna back on my personal time and pitch this show to her. I've been wanting to pitch a show, and I was going to run it by you guys to see just, you know, like a focus group to tell me what you think of my show idea, and wait, then I'll pitch it to
hold
your
on.
Network.
If we're going to be a focus group, where are the donuts?
Oh, yeah, donuts and bad coffee.
Exactly.
I'll have to owe you that post-pandemic.
Oh. All right, sounds good.
Okay. So here's my show idea. You guys know how, and I don't want to belabor this, but you know how I'm embarking on this house renovation project, and you even wrote a fantabulous song for, you know, a show premised on me having to move back into my parents' house, et cetera, et cetera. And I've complained plenty that it's, you know, doing this is not what it looks like on television because they don't show a part where you got to move out, and they don't show the delays, and they don't show this, and they don't show that. So here's my idea. I want a show called, you know, like you have a show called Bridezillas where brides are getting married and they're just total B-words to everybody that they know and love.
Yeah, just monsters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, my show would be called Renozillas for people who are going through the house renovation process like me. But when you're going through the renovation process, you're just a total over-the-top B-word. Like, for example, let's say I had a week go by, because I did, where nothing happened on my house renovation, but I'm half at my parents' house, half at my house. I've got none of the comforts of home. I've got plywood holding up a wall in one room. It's raining. I have a grocery shop because I figure how long am I going to be here for? And my contractor doesn't show up. So on Renozilla, I would get in the car with like a baseball bat. I would drive to his personal house, sit in his driveway, get drunk on some horrible whiskey, and then scream and yell and like bang the baseball bat in the palm of my hand, like, "Hey, contractor, come out to play!" Like that, like just really intimidating. What do you think about that idea?
I think it could be pretty good, but here's what you got to do. You got to find out where the contractor lives and follow him, because the reason he's not working at your house is he's juggling multiple jobs.
Oh, you're going to be the little voice of reason on my Renozilla show.
And
No. You can still go off on him. You just got to find him at the other job site and say, "Hey, dude, get back to my house."
Yeah, and the other job site's a good idea too, Jonna, because you know what? If he's on the other job site, there might be other guys working for him, and you can embarrass him in front of his coworkers or his employees.
Yes, and then he'll really learn not to cross me that way.
Exactly, and I really like your almost perfect Warriors image on the come out and play.
Did you like that?
Yeah, though what you need to do, instead of the one bottle of really bad whiskey, it needs to be five little airplane bottles of bad whiskey, and then you put them on your fingers and say the "Hey, contractor, come out and play." Now you've got the image from the Warriors down pat.
Right, exactly. And then I could be like the big raccoon behind him. I could make myself big and follow him back to my house.
Or you could take some hints from Dr. Donna, and you could be like the Jets, and you get some of that black, you know, eye stuff, and then you wipe it down your face like it's some sort of warrior paint. Yeah, there you go.
That's perfect. And then when the project gets all done and we have the big reveal, and my contractor could be like,
beat up, bloody band-aids, cowering in a corner, all afraid of me. And I could walk in. It's going to be this gorgeous thing, and then I'll turn into nice me, and then the contractor will be all like confused. But then the show doesn't end there because it's got to go on for a few seasons, right? So then what happens is people like you who are going to do their own house renovations, but you don't have a mean bone in your body, hire me to be your Renozilla. And I do the dirty work.
That's a great idea.
And what you can do is you can bring in Dr. Donna at the end of each season, and she can console whoever the contractor is that you have harassed and beaten up.
Oh, my God.
She can have him on a couch at the very end. That's the last scene. Contractor on a couch with Dr. Donna.
Amazing. Well, I mean, I'm asking. You think it's an amazing show, right?
Hey.
Right?
Hey, you come through with the donuts and the bad coffee, I'm giving a yay to your show.
I'm pitching this bad boy. You got donuts and bad coffee all you want. I'll get that to you. I'm pitching it.
We're all never be executive never take no producers. For an answer.
That's right. That's right, Carol. Never take Reno no for Zilla. An answer. Even when the contractor says, please stop hitting me anymore, that's when you say, no!
Get over there and fix that fireplace!
That's right. What about that hole in my house? It's still there. And the raccoons have moved in. All right, you've been listening to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And also, thanks so much to Dr. Donna Dannenfelser today, or just Dr. Donna, for joining us. Fantastic, fantastic segment number two there. And I recommend, if for some reason that you're tuning in just now, that you go to K104online.com/happy hour and find this show and listen at another time, because you will enjoy that interview. We'll be back again next Sunday. 7 a.m. is when we do it here on K104, so please join us again with Happy Hour.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.